following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org.
Are you the kind of person when you're making conversation, keep your hands in your pocket? Or when you're trying to make an important point, do you still hold your hands behind your back? Or in conversation, do you kind of keep them quiet on your lap, held tight? If you always do that, then you might be in rare company. Because most people have no problem whatsoever using their hands to make a point that needs emphasis or to express how pumped up they are about something or to express puzzlement, bewilderment. Hand gestures, you might say, they speak a universal language. Our Lord Jesus certainly understood that. They once brought to him a man who was blind. Rather than engaging him in in-depth conversation, Jesus took his hands and put them over the man's eyes. And immediately after he took the hands away, the man could see everything clearly. Another time they brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and then he spit and touched the man's tongue, and immediately we're told the man could hear clearly and speak quite intelligibly. There was that pitiful individual stricken with a skin disease that made him an outcast among his fellow Jews. Jesus, we're told, reached out his hand and touched him, spoke two words, and immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Matter of fact, this became so well known, the power of Jesus' hands, that we're told people were bringing their little children to Jesus so that he could put his hands on them and bless them. Jesus' hands not only expressive, Jesus' hands capable of supernatural acts. Today we find ourselves once again looking at Jesus' hands on this festival of the Ascension of our Lord. We're remembering that as he was taken up into heaven, he lifted up his hands and blessed those who were standing nearby. So I'm inviting you to open your eyes of faith and look more carefully at those lifted hands of Jesus, because they give us evidence that he's accomplished the greatest thing ever done for us. And they reassure us regarding what he still does for us and will keep doing for us in the future. Your week starts out in a really good way if you begin that week by looking at the lifted hands of Jesus. At this point, there were 11 apostles with him. There was Peter, John, and James, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew. There was the lesser-known Simon, the lesser-known James, and the lesser-known Judas. Judas Iscariot, Judas the betrayer, was no longer with them. But those 11 were still there, and Jesus was with them. For 40 days after Resurrection Sunday, we're told he kept showing himself to them and giving them many undeniable proofs that he was alive. And then he led them to this towering hill just a mile or so outside of Jerusalem, gave them one final instruction, one last promise, And then he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Or the other account, he was taken up into heaven. And as that happened, they could not help but notice his hands. After Easter, of course, his hands were different than most hands. They still carried the marks of the nails. Nail prints in his hands, you know, right here. A reminder to them of what most of them had fled from. Reminder to them of how Jesus had once cried out in agony, perhaps, as soldiers fastened him to the wood with nails through his hands and through his feet. For 40 days, those nail marks called to mind the agony of the cross on that Good Friday morning and early afternoon. The mementos of his bleeding and dying. And not only that, St. Luke has reminded us that when Jesus appeared to them after he rose, he showed them his hands and feet, and then he opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures and how all of scriptures had made this obvious that, yes, he had to suffer and die on a cross. The eternal Son of God. After all, why did he take on human feet, human legs, human torso, shoulders, neck, head, arms, and hands, except that he might live a human life entirely obedient to his Father, and then offer up his body unto death? Scars on his hands, proof of his full obedience to the Father's salvation plan. The Father, remarkably, had chosen not to condemn sinners to death, but rather to condemn his own Son to die in our place. Nail prints to the hands, proof that by his wounds we are healed, by his death we live, by his being condemned, we are pardoned. The immortal Son of God, existing from before the world began, took on mortality, died as mortal man, was laid in the grave as mortal man. The marks on his hands keep calling that to mind for everybody that saw them. But on this day, This day that we're reading about here, now his hands are no longer locked in rigor mortis. They're no longer held to his side by those strips of linens that they had wrapped around him. No, his hands are living. Our Redeemer lives. The grave is empty. The mortal has given way to immortality. The death no longer has its sting. The condemned are pardoned. Those who should die for their sins live eternally. And, as he says here, repentance and the forgiveness of sins is preached in his name to all nations. Quite amazing that the vast gap between the Heavenly Father and fallen humanity, the vast humongous chasm between the two, by the life and death and resurrection has been closed. You and I reconciled to God. And now our Lord's hands point to a heavenly home for all who believe in him. Violin lessons. My wife and I never had the courage that our children should experience violin lessons. But I admire you who have done that. I admire your willingness for all those beginning weeks and months to listen to the dreadful shrieks and groans and squeaks that come from a violin held in unskilled hands. But put that same instrument in the hands of a trained musician. Allow an experienced violinist to gently cradle the neck of the instrument in the left hand and touch the appropriate strings, and then carefully draw a bow over those strings, and that individual can communicate sadness and joy, melancholy and grief, or triumph and victory, all the human emotions communicated from skilled hands. Hands are great communicators, aren't they? They tell a story. And that's what Jesus communicated when the very last time he saw his apostles. As he was taken up and before a cloud hid him from their eyes, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That's powerful, right? For years afterwards, when troubles from their enemies rose, when false teachers wormed their way into the gathered church, when persecution became intense, when faithful confessors of the faith were arrested and jailed and put to death, they only had to look with believing eyes at the fact that the Lord Jesus' hands were still raised in blessing over them, invisible to their eyes. The Lord's hands were working for them, working in all things for the good of those who love him. When temptation came along, the Lord's hands were propping them up and giving them strength and warding off evil. When questions arose, the Lord's hands were pointing to the way of truth. The early believers knew and frequently testified that nothing in all creation could separate them from the love of Christ and from the protecting, blessing hands of Christ. It's no wonder that as his apostles left that Mount of Olives and walked back to Jerusalem, they weren't weeping in sadness that they'd see their Lord no more. Rather, they came to Jerusalem and publicly gathered in the temple courts with great joy, praising God. Dear friend, do you keep yourself aware of those hands raised in blessing? How about in those fragrant days when everything seems to be coming up roses? You know, when your health is fine and your family's happy and the bills are being paid, when someone presses you about how you're actually doing and you really have a hard time coming up with something negative to say to them, it's proper to acknowledge something about that. Everything is coming up roses. Might have been a popular song way back in the 1950s. But in fact, it doesn't really work that way. That things just come up roses? No, that's the loving, mighty, blessing hands of your Savior. Everything good comes from Him. Everything good comes from Him. Things that we've prayed for, things we've never asked for, things we've worked for, things we've not worked for. Things that we deserve? Hardly. No, he's constantly pouring out blessings that we could never earn or deserve. Keep looking at those lifted hands of Jesus raised in blessing, and you'll always find reason for joy and for praising God. Of course, you know of less fragrant days as well. One of your loved ones is placed on a gurney and hooked up to monitors and intravenous fluids and wheeled into an operating room. When that happens, don't you think about the guiding hands of the Lord Jesus? How else can you feel secure about this person you love, regardless of how the surgical procedure turns out? The Lord's hands are there, blessing and helping those that are serving your loved one. You receive a phone call from far away. A tragic accident has occurred. Heart attack, diagnosis of a terrible illness. You remember that your Lord's protecting hands are there also. Even when you cannot be there, even when you cannot provide the help that you'd like to help, the Lord is there, and he's guarding and keeping and helping and protecting and granting his blessing to those that you love. When you need to tell God's truth to someone who may not accept it or appreciate it, do you find strength because you are in the mighty hands of your Lord? Who else can give you the courage to say what needs to be said when you expect no earthly reward from it, except the Lord who holds you safe as you speak? When you lie down at night to loneliness, to anxieties, to unanswered questions, do you think about those lifted hands of Jesus? I hope so. Because even when no one else can, your ascended Lord is holding his blessing hands over you. And in fact, the Lord is blessing you and keeping you and making his face shine upon you. And even then, giving you peace. Those words that I just spoke is a tradition in a number of churches, including in our Lutheran church. At the very end of every worship service, the pastor speaks those very words, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. The pastor speaks those very words with his hands raised. So how do you explain that tradition, the hands raised at the benediction? One explanation I've heard is that the Apostle Paul, in one of his letters to Timothy, told him, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up their hands without anger or disputing. It's an okay explanation, except when the pastor's hands are raised, that's not prayer. That's blessing. That's not us to God. That's blessing God to us. A much better explanation. The Lord told Moses to instruct Aaron, the priest, to speak those very words as a blessing upon his people. This is how you are to bless them. And on at least one occasion, we're told, Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and bless them. So the pastor is imitating faithful Aaron's gesture. Explains the lifted hands, doesn't it? So I think I'd also point to what we're reading today. 40 days after he rose from the grave, Jesus ascended into heaven. And before that, he had his final face-to-face conversation with his apostles. He urged them to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promised them that they would be clothed with power from on high so that they could be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then he expressed himself with his hands, nail-pierced hands, reminders that he had died and risen for them. Hands lifted up as a blessing for their everyday and for their eternity. So, what more meaningful way to end a worship service than for your pastor to follow God's instruction and speak God's threefold blessing upon you, The Lord bless, the Lord keep, the Lord make his face shine. And what could be more appropriate than for him to lift up his hands in that blessing and help you remember, my Lord Jesus, his hands are lifted up in blessing upon me as well. The Lord who makes me the Father's own and sends me the Spirit and keeps me in his grace, he's the one who blesses with his holy name. Amen.